This is Totally Heroes. This is our theme song. Yeah, we're Totally Heroes. Well, you've got Dave, and he's the host. We're sorry about that. But hey, there's always Shank, and he's kind of cool. He's like a really techie guy. And then there's Brian. Well, he is the Jason Statham of Lord of the Rings Online. Really doesn't make any sense. But we talk about video games on Totally, Totally Heroes. Well, this song really stinks. But the show is awesome. Listen to Totally, Totally Heroes by QGN. That stands for Quest Game Network. Yeah, Totally, Totally Heroes. Gonna start right now. We promise it's better than this theme song. Take it away, Dave. Take it away, Shank. Brian, join in too. Totally Heroes, going live right now.
Welcome to Totally Heroes, the QGN news show where you have a say. Your game's right here. My name is Brian Armstrong, filling in tonight for David Deinforce Adams, who, believe it or not, is dead again. Sorry, Dave. Sucks being dead, I know. Come back alive next week, hopefully. And in his place, we have nobody. But joining us, as always, is Mr. Shank the Tank. Shank, how you doing tonight?
I'm actually doing pretty good, man. I'm super stoked. I don't know why I'm super stoked, but this is pretty sweet. Anyway, today on your campfire discussion, so Dave's dead again. We told him not to get AIDS. He didn't listen to us. And he's dead as a result. But other than that, this is basically going to be the greatest episode of Totally Heroes, and we're going to have unbelievably perfectly smooth segues.
Yes. And exactly.
But other than that, what do we have up for discussion in this campfire? We've got some sales information, some top 10 sales, U.S. sales for the week for you guys, as well as we have something from the NVIDIA rumor mill, which is actually quite troubling. And of course, we have your question of the week and your hero play, where we're just going to just vamp because the games that we've been playing, you guys, we've been talking about. So we're actually going to do something a little bit differently for you guys. And like I said, your question of the week. And other than that, Dave's dead. Did I mention that Dave's dead? And we're going to get right into it. So, Brian, let's throw it back to you.
All right. Yeah. Well, I thought we'd talk about kind of a slow news day, at least. I thought we would just talk about some of the games that are being sold that you guys out there are buying. And we have the top 10 list coming to us from VGCharts.com. And these are just numbers in the U.S. because they haven't updated the global chart yet. I'm not quite sure why they usually do about this time. But regardless, thought we'd go backwards here. We go through the top 10. We'll start with number 10. And number 10 on the 3DS, Pokemon XY.
It's on that fabled Nintendo thing.
Yeah, that we talked about last week. I still don't know what it is.
I don't know what a Nintendo is. If Dave was here, he could explain it to us.
Yeah, I'm sure he could.
But he's not.
But then we'd have to segue over to him, and that would just be a nightmare.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think it's better this way.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. all right, number 9 on the Xbox 360 was South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Amazing game.
It's still selling well. Let's see. Never heard of this one. The Witch and the 100 Knights on the PS3.
Yeah.
Number 8.
No idea what that is. It sounds like an indie game, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah. It could be AAA.
I have no idea. You know what? It might be one of those PS Plus like instant game collection things.
Oh, that's possible.
For
the
PS3. Cause I know PS4 has fewer titles for that just cause it's newer.
I don't think these count digital sales though. So I'm not sure that would actually be included. I think these are all just physical.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually interesting because there's a lot of games being sold here and they're all physical. So, I mean, that could be a whole other show talking about the physical versus digital, but both markets seem to be alive and well. So that's good news. Anyway, number 7, BlazBlue Chrono Phantasma on the PS3. Again, no clue.
I have no idea what
but,
that is.
But 30,000 of you out there like that game, I guess. So enjoy. Final Fantasy X or Final Fantasy X, 10-2 HD remastered on the PS3 is number 6. And let's see, number 5. This game has been selling like hotcakes for years, it seems like. Minecraft on the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. That's just amazing. And number 4, we have a PC game representing Diablo 3. And I'm assuming they're talking about the expansion and not just the base game there.
I'm not sure
how they count that exactly. But
yeah, I mean, that's got to be Reaper of Souls right there.
Yeah, right. I know they sold, they released, I think, their worldwide sales as of this weekend are like 2.7 million, I think. So,
jeez.
Which these numbers might not quite represent all of that. But yeah, interesting. Anyway, it's selling well. Then number 3 is Final Fantasy X, 10-2 HD on the... Got my list mixed up. on the PS4, Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zero. So that game is still selling well, at least on the PS4. That's interesting to see. Number 2, Titanfall on the Xbox One. So another 93,000 units sold of that game. That game is still selling like crazy. What's 3 weeks in now, I guess?
Yeah, it's 3 weeks in, and we have a couple questions in the chat. Yes, we are looking currently, if you guys joined us a little bit late, this is a U.S. top software sales for the past week.
Week ending March 29th, yeah. So that's the how they update them. But.
Yeah, so yeah, regarding Titanfall, I have to think a lot of this is due to that bundle where you get, I'm pretty sure it's 12 months live of gold, plus the game, plus the system for $450.
Yeah, that's a heck of a deal.
That's a pretty ridiculous deal, because the game plus gold is $60 each, so that's $120. Plus they're discounting it by further $50. That's $170.
That you're saving just by buying that bundle. That's good.
That's a pretty ridiculous amount if you get that bundle. So I can definitely see how that's selling it like hotcakes. And honestly, they should take note, and this is something that Microsoft should do. Both Microsoft and Sony should do this, because it's a really, really good idea.
Yeah. I mean, you got to sell the console to get other games in their hands. So exactly. I mean, if they can bundle together a hot title and, you know, maybe they lose a little on something here and there, but get more consoles out there and take advantage of the market share. That's a great way to do it. All right, number 1, top-selling game of the week ending March 29th, Infamous Second Son on the PS4.
Woohoo!
So 2 weeks in a row, that's on the top spot.
Dude.
Which we both like. We like that game a lot.
I absolutely love the game. And if you've been following my Twitter, I've been tweeting out screenshots. And because I recently, and by recently I mean literally yesterday, Sunday, started my Infamous playthrough. Not the game playthrough, but Infamous as in the like the evil playthrough. Yeah. Of the game, and I gotta say it plays and handles very differently.
Yeah,
and but it's,
I haven't gone evil yet, but I'm interested to try it. But
you feel so powerful. They do so, because like the skills and stuff you get are different too, like the abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's really, really cool. I like this a lot more than my good playthrough. But so far, I've made a couple of choices, obviously, for the evil playthrough. And man, it really makes you feel like bad that you made those choices. Yeah, I made the choice, and then like something at like the next cutscene happened. I was like, oh man, why did I do that?
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty. I like the way that they do it, because like they don't just say, oh, it's an evil choice. So it's
right.
But anyway, Brian and I like this game. You should buy it.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. And they have a chart here as well for hardware stats. Should we get into those a little bit too?
Sure.
All right. Well, let's see. The week ending again, March 29th. The PS4, these stats are worldwide. Sold 150,000 units. They're in order. The 3DS, God, that thing is still selling like crazy. Sold another 146,000 units. So that's pretty impressive. I know. I can't believe that thing is selling that well still. Xbox One worldwide sold 91,000, and they're still not available in Japan, so that's pretty good considering these other categories are all sold in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The PS Vita surprisingly sold 73,000 units.
You know what? I want to see numbers of the Vita sales after November 11th.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta believe a lot of the sales are tied to the PS4 now.
Yeah, I mean,
you
have to think that. Because, I mean, even me, somebody who really just doesn't care about handheld, like mobile gaming like that, or not mobile, but handheld gaming, the Vita, I have to admit, the Vita is very tempting, especially now that I have the PS4. It just seems like a very good, like, pair with the, like, a compliment, like, buddy thing to the PS4. I'm still probably not going to get it, but I have to admit that having the PS4 has definitely made me think about it. And you got to think that a lot of people did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, to be able to play your console, you know, somewhere else, you know, at work on your lunch break or at your parents' house for Thanksgiving. I mean, just be able to take your PS4 with you wherever you are without having to actually take it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool idea. I personally haven't got it to work that well yet. Still trying to get it to kind of connect and have a good enough internet connection on both ends to make it worthwhile. But I think eventually it's going to be a pretty cool thing. My family doesn't exactly have strong internet connections when I go to visit them, so it's not really working. Let's see. More hardware numbers. The PS3 sold 65,000 units, which that and the Xbox 360 selling 30. That's amazing to me that the two, you know, last gen consoles are still selling so well, because I mean, there's not exactly a whole lot of games coming out on the horizon for those.
Yeah,
I mean, they're kind of on the downhill side of things here.
It's pretty incredible, because like if you look at the PS3 and 360 numbers for both North America and Europe, they both sort of trade blows there. Where like if you're on the podcast, Xbox 360 is selling better than the PS3 in North America, whereas the PS3 is selling better than the Xbox 360 in Europe. So they're kind of trading blows there, which is actually kind of expected. But the real kicker is if you look at the Japan numbers, the PS3 selling close to 17,000 units last week, whereas the 360 only sold 247. So that's kind of a huge, I think that's where you're seeing the biggest disparities really in Japan. And it kind of makes sense, because like the 360 never really was big in Japan.
Yeah. No.
And likewise, Xbox One isn't even, you know, available in Japan yet. I think not until September, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard too. Yeah, they're just not going to push hard there because they haven't ever had a reason to push hard there.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And but I think the Xbox One is launching in like a bunch more territories this September. I want to say like 19 or something, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. How would you like to be like the one guy in Japan who really wants an Xbox One, though? Like,
I know.
When are you ever going to give me my Xbox One?
What do you go? Well, see, it's not region locked, right? Because they changed that. So,
yeah, I guess that's true. So you could import it,
right? So I guess how much could you actually like import? You know what? If you're in Japan and you listen to Totally Heroes, send us a tweet telling us if you are somehow able to get an Xbox One. Because we want to know, and I'm genuinely curious, if you want an Xbox One in Japan, how do you do it? Especially since it's not region locked.
Yeah, so at Totally Heroes on Twitter, let us know.
Yeah.
We'd like to know that. All right, we've pretty much run out of that chart, but a couple more interesting notes. The Wii U, 40,000 units, the poor old Wii U way down there, not hardly selling at all. The Wii itself, the original Wii, still selling 10,000 units, so... And the PSP, for crying out loud, has sold 13,000 units. I forgot that thing was even around anymore. That's ridiculous.
You want to know what's crazy? I actually had one, like, literally, like, the original PSP.
Yeah?
The one with the defective pixel in the upper left corner.
Oh, my brother had the same one, I think, yeah.
Yeah, but I honestly never really noticed that, the dead pixel. But still, dude, man, that thing, I love that thing.
Yeah. I always wanted one.
It sucked on battery, but my God, that screen was gorgeous.
Nice.
But
that's why I like the Vita.
Yeah, I see. That's I have yet to actually play with a Vita.
Yeah. Oh, I think you'd like it. Well, you might hate it too. I don't know. You could go either way. Because it's not a PS4. It's probably about as good as a PS3. But yeah, it's getting a little old in terms of graphic quality these days, but
right. Well, there you go, guys.
Anyway. Yeah. So those are some numbers for the last week. We'll probably try staying on top of those over the next few weeks, especially if they're interesting. If they're not interesting, we'll move on. But I thought they were something to talk about this week anyway. So.
Oh, for sure.
Shank, what do you got for us this week?
Well, I have some pretty worrying news, quite frankly. So if we go up over here, there we go. This is from The Escapist, but it was originally reported by Swee Clockers, who I believe, I feel like that's a Swedish site.
Yeah, gotta be.
But here's, it's some pretty bad news. It's if it's true, it's some pretty awful news. And this is a rumor going around. And it's really, I've actually been suspicious of this myself for the last month and a half. Actually, really 2 months now. But the rumor is that NVIDIA's 20 nanometer Maxwell GPUs are delayed to 2015. So if you guys are not sure what I'm talking about here, so there's different architectures for these cards, NVIDIA cards. And I can't really get that graphic because it's really low res. But anyway, what were the current NVIDIA architecture is called Kepler. And Kepler was released in 2012. And NVIDIA, you know, traditionally releases a new architecture every 2 years with the year in between doing some refinements. Think about like, you know, the iPhone 5, iPhone 5S, you know, something so similar to that vein. And currently, I mean, the rumor is basically coming from the Taiwanese contacts because the fabrication guys, the plant that actually makes these GPUs is TSMC. And they're the people that, you know, manufacture these chips. And it just seems, you know, kind of confirming my fear for the last 2 months is that they're just not prepared for full-on 20 nanometer chips. And if you want to know, you know, 20 nanometers, okay, that's fine. Well, Kepler currently is running on 28 nanometer dies. Maxwell is supposed to be 20 nanometer, and it just seems like TSMC, the fabrication, is they're just not ready for it. Now, there is currently there are two Maxwell cards out right now. They are the GTX 750 and the GTX 750 Ti. They were released in February of this year, but these are not high-end cards. I mean, to be brutally frank, these are very, very mid-ranged cards right now. I would go so far as to say that the GTX 750 is actually weaker than the PS4 APU.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I would say about the 750 Ti might be close to a 660, a GTX 660, which is roughly what the PS4 GPU is. So these are very, very, very mid-range cards. And traditionally, you know, NVIDIA, when they release a new architecture, they come out with their, you know, flagship cards. They had this, you know, for Kepler, they had the 680. And, you know, for Maxwell, I was hoping that this 880 would be out in April. But they don't have that. Right now what they have is the high-end 700 series cards, which is, you know, the 780 Ti, and they have their Titan line, which is, you know, Titan, really now it's the Titan Black and the Titan Z, which honestly nobody should buy a Titan Z. It's kind of pointless.
Yeah. Which you talked about last week, by the way, in Shank's spiel, right?
Yes, I did. I definitely did that, so shameless plug to that. Now, you know, there is, you know, the GTX 800M chips, and these are NVIDIA's mobile chips. And the 880M is actually an insane beast of a little mobile chip. You check it out. I think Digital Foundry has something on it, but it's a good card. But the point of all this is that we're not seeing a high-end Maxwell 20 nanometer card this year. It doesn't look like we're going to see one this year. It looks like best chance we would have seen one at Q4, quarter four this year, but it looks like now it's going to be pushed into 2015. And it's just a shame, you know? I mean, they're saying, quote, the chance of a high-end 20 nanometer Maxwell model being released in 2014, that line's equivalent of the GTX 780 or 780 Ti, but there's no guarantee of that happening for this year, which is just as bad. And, you know, why is this bad for everybody? This is awful. Because what this is just there's no progress being made on the technical front here. And we have a question from the chat room. I apologize. I can't quite make out your
Rick Rule 8.
Rick Rule 8 asks, do we really need new GPUs with the Titans and 780 Ti? And you know what? I assume you're talking about just high-end GPUs here. I would say that we do, because what the Titan Z represents is stagnation. It's not really a new card. It's just two Titan Blacks, you know, quote unquote, glued together. So it's nothing new. The 780 Ti, as awesome as it is, really isn't anything new either. It's just it's basically the Kepler card pushed to the limit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is. It's just existing technology. So I would say, yes, we do need new GPUs, because that's the only way we can get new advancements made. The other thing is, Maxwell was supposed to have what's called stacked RAM. That is the VRAM, or the video RAM, the GDDR5 memory, it was supposed to be actually on the GPU die itself, on the chip itself. That's pretty ridiculous, quite frankly, and we were supposed to get this with Maxwell, and we're not getting it with Maxwell. This is now being pushed into Pascal, which is not due until 2016. So that's 2 years. So, you know, it's a shame, because all these advancements, they're just keep getting pushed back and pushed back. And what's going to happen is that we, the consumer and the industry, are going to be sitting on existing tech for longer, which is awful, because that means there's no progress effectively for the next, 7 months. That's a shame. You know, in a world, in the technology industry, you need constant progress and new stuff to not only keep competition healthy, but also it's just good for the industry to keep constantly having newer and newer and better new technologies. Because it's not just, make it smaller, run cooler, use less power, and make it faster. No, it's innovations like, adding stacked RAM, plus making your making the GPU actually see the VRAM and system RAM more of as a unified memory pool, similar to what the consoles do now, which that was actually supposed to come to Maxwell. It doesn't look like it's coming to Maxwell either. It looks like it's going to Pascal. So this is bad. It's just bad. It really, really, really makes me kind of frustrated a little bit. This is an advancement to me, this is just stagnation in this industry, and it's awful, because the only good thing I can see coming from this is that this may give time for AMD to really come out with something absolutely stellar, put something in the market within the next few months, and say, Nvidia, your move. And I'm not talking about just a minor sort of upgrade to, their 290X or whatever. I don't want a dual GPU 290X, because that's basically the Titan Z, and it's nothing new. Something, new architecture, genuine advancement, not just, iterations, genuine advancement. If they do this, NVIDIA is really going to be forced to say, guys, look, AMD just put something out. We really need to respond with something actually, unbelievably good.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that being really good if that could happen. If this delay kind of opens the door for AMD, they do something, big and bold, and NVIDIA is forced to take action and respond. But video games themselves get delayed all the time, and usually it's for the better. They add in new features or they refine some things. Could that be the case here, where they're, maybe they're not necessarily stagnating or running into problems. Maybe they've discovered something like, oh, we can actually push this further. We're going to give it a little more time. Could that be what this is? Or is this generally just a bad sign?
It could be that. But honestly, I genuinely don't think that they have 20 nanometer production down.
Yeah.
Because the first cards for Maxwell they introduced were 750, 750 Ti, and now the 880M, which are still 28 nanometer fabrication. And those three chips are being touted as Maxwell. They're not really Maxwell. The only Maxwell part about them is that they're very heat efficient and power efficient. But that's what leads me. And plus, honestly, historically by now, we would have heard something about a high-end next architecture card.
Yeah.
From NVIDIA. And we just haven't. And which really makes me worry that they genuinely just don't have the fabrication process down.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think I know what's going on here. You know, it got delayed into 2015. And, you know, what else has been delayed into 2015?
Witcher.
Exactly.
That's so, dude, I knew exactly what you're talking about.
So obviously they're working with CD Projekt Red to make the ultimate gaming experience. That's what's happening here.
Rick Rule actually makes it. He's the new Maxwell GPUs will probably release with the new release of Intel's Haswell E CPUs. And Haswell is actually the next, I'm pretty sure Haswell is actually already out, but Haswell is basically NVIDIA's newest line. They had Sandy Bridge, Ivy Bridge, and then Haswell. And I kind of agree that it probably will release with the CPUs, but Haswell and Maxwell are kind of two different leagues. Haswell is more like mobile oriented. You know, they're really, it's much better for like laptops and stuff like that rather than actual desktops. So on the CPU front, my advice, buy an Ivy Bridge and stick with an Ivy Bridge because they're pretty jacked. I wouldn't be surprised if the Maxwell GPU is released with Haswell and you saw some, you know, like the newest Alienware or whatever had something like that. But I don't know. This is news that kind of makes me sad, which at the same time, it actually makes me happy that I was impatient enough and I bought my 780 Ti when I did. Because I was kind of suspecting this was the case with NVIDIA, that they just didn't have this down. And I was like, you know what, I could wait, but, you know, Watch Dogs is around the corner, and, you know, then Witcher 3 is going to be showing up this year, there's going to be The Division showing up, do I really want to wait and push my luck? No, I'm just going to buy the 780 Ti, and I'm kind of glad I did. So if you are one of your listeners, if you guys have the 780 Ti, you can literally sit on it until 2016, I'm not even kidding, like, there won't be a game in the next 2 years that comes out that has a recommended systems requirement for 780 Ti for any game. So you will be perfectly fine. So sit on that card if you got it. But that's all I got about this, man.
All right. Well, Shank, I hear you. I really do. And you know what else I hear?
You know what?
I hear all my favorite books.
Yeah.
On audibletrial.com. So that was pretty bad. I'll admit that one. That's for you, Dave. All right, so head on over to one of our great sponsors' websites, audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork, and you can get a special 30-day free trial. So if you've been needing to check out some books, maybe you've got some reading you want to catch up on, or maybe you've got some textbooks you're trying to get through for class, head on over there, audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork, and you can try out the service for 30 days for free. You'll get a free book with that. If you're into the Elder Scrolls, you might check out the Infernal City, which is an Elder Scrolls novel, and it's book 1 of 2 by Greg Keyes. And when you finish that one, after you've enjoyed your 30 free days and you want to renew and get a new book, which, by the way, I think how that works is you get a free book every month when you pay for this the service, you can download Lord of Souls, Elder Scrolls Book 2 in that series. So these novels take place 40 years after the Oblivion Crisis, so if you're interested in what goes on after you shut all those Oblivion portals, head on over to audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. Maybe it was a spoiler, I don't know. And check out your free 30-day trial of audible.com. All right. So now we're going to move on to our little discussion here. We don't really have a hero play. As Shank said, we've been playing games that you all have heard all about, and we've talked about at length here for the last few weeks. So we thought we'd talk about a couple games that we're looking forward to in the upcoming months and weeks, I guess. But we're going to break it down into PC and new consoles. So Shank, how do you want to do this? You want me to go first? You want to go first?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Well, for new consoles, I'm looking forward to Drive Club on the PlayStation 4. I've been looking forward to this game ever since it was announced back in February of last year. It was supposed to be a launch title, and as of right now, there's still no release date for it. and it's driving me nuts because, you know, I had to sit and watch people play Forza on the Xbox One, and I couldn't play it, and I was mad, throwing a fit, a tantrum. But I did actually see a rumor today that the release date got leaked. It might be the last day of E3 in June this year. So,
whoa, really?
Yeah. That was I saw that a couple places today. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, which I think is a Thursday, so that's a weird day. Maybe they're saying Friday, though.
I think, yeah, because you know what? They did the same thing with Last of Us last year.
That's true. It was. Yeah, you're right. It was at E3 that it came out. So, yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, that it'll be coming out in June. I'll get to finally play it. For PC, you know, there's a lot of games coming out between now and this one, but I got to go back to Witcher 3. I'm looking forward to that game like so much that I just can't hardly think about anything else. So I'll be getting that on PC when it comes out in 2015 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so that's
February 2015.
Probably, oh, it is February. Okay, I can't remember if it was confirmed for a month. So good. Okay, that's not too much longer. Is that 10 months?
Yeah.
I can. All right. Yeah, so that's me. How about you, Shaq?
For PC, actually, unfortunately, Witcher 3 for me, it's just too far away. But God, I am so sad about that. But for me, immediately, the game that I'm immediately looking forward to on PC specifically is Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
And the requirements actually came out today. You're basically going to need a pretty awesome rig. As far as CPU is concerned, they're saying an i7 3770 quad core or a comparable AMD FX 8 core. And 560 Ti for NVIDIA, and I cannot remember what the AMD equivalent is. I'm sorry, but I'm sure AMD guys, you know. So that's actually the game that I'm looking forward to for PC. I mean, that looks... I saw the game at E3 2012. I was blown away by it. And then we saw very, very few snippets of it, you know, the next year in 2013. I was like, eh, whatever. But then now I'm getting more excited about it just because I've seen a little bit more information about it, and specifically the what's his name, something Morin, Jonathan Morin or something, I can't remember his name, but he's one of the, I think, the game creative director or the game director on Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Twitter, he basically said that the PC on Mac settings looks stunning, like all caps stunning. So
wow.
That's I'm stoked for that game. I'm going to completely just max out all the settings. I don't care if I get 30 FPS. It's going to look gorgeous.
Well, you got that fancy new card. I think you'll be fine, won't you? I mean,
the GPU side, I'll be fine. PC or the CPU side.
Oh, the processor.
Yeah, right. The CPU side, I might be a little bit lacking there, just simply because a game like that requires a lot of compute because there's a lot of AI, a lot of physics, that weather, dynamic weather system. There's a lot of physics going on, computational processing, and that's all CPU side. So I might be a little bit lacking on the CPU, but GPU I should be totally fine. But
yeah, which, by the way, that AMD card was their Radeon HD 7850.
7850. Okay, so yeah. That's 7850 is actually the equivalent of what's in the PS4. So there you go. You're fine.
Just go break apart your PS4 and grab that card and you'll be fine.
I know. if only it worked that way.
Yeah.
I would have ripped the RAM out of my PS4 and stuck it in my PC a long time ago. But so that's on the PC. On the console side of things, on my PS4... I want to get excited about Drive Club because I love driving games, but I just haven't seen enough of it yet.
I'm a little concerned about it.
Yeah,
to be honest, I'm a little concerned.
I am too. I don't think we've seen enough about it. CPU are you running, Shank? I'm running the Sandy Bridge i5 2320, running at 3 GHz. The PS4, the next game I'm looking forward to on the PS4, like exclusively. Yeah, it's probably honestly The Order 1886.
Yeah.
And if not before then, it's probably Destiny.
Oh, sure.
As far as console exclusives, but and then on the Xbox One, Gosh, I genuinely don't know. Because I'm trying to think of exclusives that are coming out specifically for Xbox in the next year.
Yeah, the only ones we know, and I don't even know if it's confirmed for this year, but that Quantum
Break.
Break?
Yeah.
Yeah,
looked kind of cool.
It looks really cool to me, yeah. But I'll see you later, MDL. Thanks for coming out. That one, and there's that other one, which doesn't look like something we would like at all. Sunset Overdrive?
Sunset Overdrive, yeah.
I don't know if that's something, at least that I would like at all.
Yeah,
but,
it looks, and I don't know if this is true, but I think it's made by the same guys that made Jet Set Radio on Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And Jet Set Radio, dude, that game was freaking awesome on Dreamcast.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, I don't think I ever played it. It didn't look like something I would like, though.
It made no sense, dude, but it was actually pretty fun. But that is still my favorite console of all time, by the way, the Dreamcast.
Yeah. That'd be a fun show. We should do that sometime.
Yeah, quickly being replaced by my PS4. But So I think, you know, I'd have to, you know, gun to my head, I'd have to say Order 1886 is the next console for my PS4. Quantum Break probably for the Xbox One, and I think Halo is kind of a cop out because I will buy the next Halo anyway because I love the story.
Yeah,
but yeah.
In the chat room, Rick Rule said he's looking forward to Batman Arkham Knight and Shadow of Mordor, which I know you were excited about the system specs for PC for Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, yes. yes, see, and that's something. Can I touch on that real quick?
Sure. Dave's not here. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. What I've noticed over the last, especially for the, you know, since these new consoles have come out, first of all, 4 gigs of memory as a recommended is not the minimum anymore. Like 4 gigs is gone, and the reason because they had 4 gigs was because of 32-bit OS, 32-bit coding. But now a lot of games are requiring 64-bit, and 64-bit there's literally no limit as to how much memory you can see with 64-bit because it's literally 2 to the 64. Which is a massive freaking number. I
can't do math.
I think with Shadow of Mordor, they require 6 gigs of system RAM, which is good, makes me happy. And you know, the CPU recommendation is higher, and specifically the GPU. The GPU on Shadow of Mordor is a GTX 670.
Wow.
That's the recommended. And that, man, that makes me happy because you can see the system specs are moving up because of the new consoles, which, if anything, proves that the old consoles totally held back the industry for that long. But it's good that finally everything is moving up. And I genuinely believe that the x86 architecture has a huge helping hand in that. And it's only going to get better. It's only going to get more optimized. And games are just going to be that much better. Better looking, I should say, hopefully, the PC versions over the next couple of years, as they can, same architecture, very easily just scale up. Yeah. So that, man, these higher system specs, they're making me very, very happy, for sure. But that's a little aside.
Sure. One other game that was pointed out in the chat room I would like to touch on as well, just real quick. Steve said MLB The Show for PS4. Yeah, that game looks amazing.
Is that coming out for PS4?
Yeah, in May.
Oh, okay. See, I thought that was only PS3, and I was like, that's a shame.
Oh, no, yeah, it's out on PS3 and Vita now. It's coming to PS4 in May.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that one. I love those games. Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I know
you're definitely going to get that game. I can
tell. Oh, yeah, definitely. I kind of forgot about that when I said Drive Club, but yeah. Looking forward to both of those. So, yeah, all right. Thank you guys in the chat for participating in our little thing. Lost my mind for a second there. Hero Play. thank you guys for that. If you have any more thoughts or suggestions, send them out on Twitter at Totally Heroes. You can find us on there. Shank, why don't we go ahead and move into our question of the week?
Sure. So this question of the week this week is actually pretty – it seems straightforward, but it really isn't if you want to take it apart and really understand it. And I get this kind of asked not completely frequently, but often enough that I think it should bear answering, and I'm sure you do too, Brian. But it's the question of, hey, I have a PC. Should I buy a console?
Yeah, Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
You have a, all right. I have a PC. Should I buy a console? I think maybe obviously it depends on, you know, what you want out of games. When you say I have a PC, if you're talking you have a, you know, a crappy PC that you've had for 10 years, you might want to buy a console because I'm not sure that PC is going to be running any games. but if you have a pretty powerful gaming PC, you know, you may not need to unless you're looking for the new experiences, not necessarily new, but the experiences that consoles are offering right now, like the game sharing on Twitch and screenshots and being able to record Shank's video. Favorite thing. Yeah, and I was going to say Shank's favorite thing of being able to watch Netflix on your console. I mean, if you want a box that will do all those things, which there is a market out there that doesn't have a console or any kind of entertainment device, so they might buy a console. I'm just killing it right now, Shank, with these words, I know. But they might buy a console so that they can play games and watch Netflix and, you know, do all the other stuff that comes on console. But I think it really just depends on what you want out of your games. I have a feeling that if we're talking about people who have a gaming PC, they probably know what they want out of games and either already have a console or don't plan on getting one. So I'm guessing, I think the person asking this is probably kind of a mid-range PC person, somebody who's got a pretty good computer, but it's not, you know, top of the line, and they want to play some games. And for you, I would say, sure, go buy a console, because there's going to be some experiences on there that you can't get on PC, like the exclusives, you know, like a Titanfall or an Infamous.
Infamous, I can say.
yes. I think, yeah. It depends on what you want out of gaming, but sure, for the answer to this, I'll say yes. Shank, why don't you school me here and answer this for me?
I think the answer very much is it depends.
Yeah.
Because I think – I have to agree with Brian. I mean, if you have a very powerful gaming PC, you might not be interested in a console, but then again – and I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I feel like I have a pretty – jacked PC, but I still have my consoles.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it depends.
That's because you like Netflix and Hulu, though.
Yeah, exactly. I only use my Xbox to watch TV and God. You know what? I think I would err on the side of I have a PC, should I buy a console? I think regardless of the PC that you have, I would err on the side of yes, you should buy a console. And it's very much because the way I look at it, and I'm not saying everyone should look at it this way, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad way to look at it. I think it's actually a pretty pragmatic way to look at it, is that if you have a mid-range PC or a jacked PC, you know, you're naturally going to play your cross-platform games on the more powerful system. So, you know, your Assassin's Creed's, your Elder Scrolls games, you know, Watch Dogs that's coming up. You're going to want to play them on your more powerful machine because it's the gameplay experience is just generally it's going to just be better. But you want your consoles. You want consoles because they are, you know, they're primarily, or they're in theory, they're purely just for that gaming experience, and they do genuinely make things like, you know, sharing a screenshot, sharing your live stream of your gameplay. Although with Shadowplay, it's actually becoming pretty mindlessly easy, which is good. That's something that the PCs learn from the consoles. But, you know, stuff like that, you know, quickly swapping back and forth, you know, checking out your trophies, going back right back into game seamlessly. And just having that, you know, sort of fun exclusive factor, because there are games that are exclusive to consoles. GTA, perfect example. Grand Theft Auto V, as far as we know, is only available on PS3 and 360. And if you said, I want GTA 5, I would absolutely tell you, you know, I would buy a PS3 for GTA 5.
Right.
I don't know if Brian would agree with me, but...
Yeah.
game, you know, Last of Us, I would tell somebody, buy a PS3 for Last of Us. We pretty much told Brad for that last year.
Yeah. And he still hasn't done it, but
you know, yeah. So there are consoles have exclusives, and they're worth buying the console for, because those are experiences you just can't get on the PC. So if you have a very, very powerful PC. Well, what if you have a lower, you know, not so powerful PC? Well, I would say, yeah, buy a console. You know, use your PC for regular everyday PC stuff, you know, surfing the internet, web browsing, email. But then you have your consoles to just kick back and play games. You still benefit because you have a PC that does your stuff, but you have your consoles that still play your games. So, you know what? Yes, PC, cross-platform games, awesome. They do have exclusives like StarCraft, Diablo. You just cannot get those games on consoles except for Diablo now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But consoles do have unbelievably fun exclusives. So my answer is, yeah, I think if you do have a PC, regardless of the type of PC, I think you should buy a console. If only just to get different gaming experiences and just, honestly, more fun. You want some more fun, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think having a console is maybe a little bit easier or better when it comes to the, you know, the late night gaming sessions, or you come home from work or from being out and you're just exhausted. You don't want to sit in front of your computer. You want to get on the couch. Just, you know, turn on your console, grab the controller, and, you know, pass out in front of it.
Yeah, exactly. And now, I mean, these consoles, the new ones at least, they're instant on. You know,
right?
They're everything is stored in RAM. I mean, yeah, okay, you could leave your PC on the entire day and, you know, shake the mouse and then turn it back up. But it's just there's something easy about just picking up my DualShock, just pressing the button, and then boom, it's up and I'm in the game within 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So I agree.
I don't know. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I don't know if the Xbox One has this feature or not. I know they're working on it for both consoles, but they want to make it so that you can hit your... You just hit a button on your console in the middle of a game, and it, you know, shuts it off, and you hit it again, and it comes back to that same spot.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. I've experienced this with both Rise and Forza, where I would be in the middle of like some level in Rise, and I would completely shut down my Xbox, or just, you know, basically put it to sleep.
Right.
Come back the next morning, turn it on, and it would put me right back in exactly where I was.
Yeah, okay. Which, to me, that's amazing. I love that. They can get that on the PS4. I'm waiting for that. So.
It is amazing, because you're sitting on 8 gigs of RAM. Make use of it.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah. And plus, there is that factor of upfront, consoles are cheaper upfront.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the 780 Ti alone is $730 versus a $400 for a PS4, which has the GPU, the disk drive, all this other stuff. The 780 Ti is literally a hunk of silicon. So
it's a piece of metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the chat room's been chiming in here a little bit as well. Let's see. Steve says, sure, why not? So there we go. I think I like that answer.
Yeah.
Rick Rule says yes because of console exclusives. Steve followed up by saying there's a fun factor in a console that PC just can't give you, and vice versa. Bangor was referring to The Last of Us saying it's coming to the PS4, the Super Duper Edition or some such. So that's rumors that's coming to PS4. So
I can tell you right now, if that does pan out, I will absolutely be getting it.
Oh yeah.
that is an instant buy for me.
Yeah. And if you guys haven't played that game, it's not just because it's this really cool game. It's an amazing game, all right? It's amazing.
If you want a game that sums up the PlayStation 4 or the PlayStation 3, is a symbolic, you know, summation and of what the PS3 is, that's the game you play.
Yeah.
That game will tell you everything that you want to know about the PS3.
Yes, that's totally true. That's a good way to say it. Let's see. That's about it, I guess.
All right, cool.
Kind of gone in the chat room there. So
that's solid.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for chiming in, and thank you for listening. And if you're listening, this is for you, Dave. Be sure to head over to one of our great sponsors, tweakedaudio.com, where they can help you if you have crummy earbuds or if you have a terrible you know, audio system at home, you can check out some nice new earbuds from tweakedaudio.com. They have quality earbuds, free worldwide shipping. So even if you live somewhere remote like I do, where the power just goes out randomly for no apparent reason, which happened tonight, by the way, head on over there. You can check out some earbuds. It's up on the stream there now if you're watching the YouTube, if you're watching it live. These guys are great. I have a pair of Tweaked Audio headbuds. So I listen to them at work every day. They sound great. I've been listening to the Elder Scrolls Online soundtrack lately, and it sounds great. And by the way, as Liz mentioned earlier today, not only do I listen to the Elder Scrolls Online soundtrack with these awesome Tweaked Audio headbuds, I listen to the Elder Scrolls Off the Record Episode 105 soundtrack as well, which featured yours truly singing a couple songs, as well as Liz and Bradford and Rage. So if you want to hear us at our very, very best quality, head over to tweakedaudio.com and get yourself a set of these awesome earbuds, and we will rock your world, I promise you. Or maybe not. But they do come with unbeatable customer service. You can get them replaced if they get destroyed. Lifetime warranty. And if you use the code Off the Record, you can get 30% off your order. So head on over to tweakedaudio.com and enjoy the great sound. All right. Shank, I think we may have reached the end of the show here.
I think we did, man.
All right. Before we start kind of wrapping up here, I do want to plug something real quick. Our news director, Bradford, Joseph Bradford, has been working on an Elder Scrolls Online review. He's kind of doing it in four parts, and the first part posted today over at elderscrollsofftherecord.com. So,
oh, sweet. Let me get that up on the stream real quick. Yeah, keep talking. Keep vamping.
Yeah, if I read it right before we went live. It's really good. If you want to know kind of some of the more detailed information, if you're on the fence about getting it and you don't really want to pay the fee and all that stuff, read his stuff because he's really going into detail about it, and he's doing a great job so far. So it's going to be a four-part review. I don't know if he's doing it weekly or every few days or what, but head over to elderscrollsofftherecord.com right now and check out his first part of the review in progress.
Apparently the website is not working for me.
Oh, well.
But that's maybe perfect for radio, though, so that's okay.
Yeah. I can't see it. That's right. All right. If you would like to get in touch with the show, if you want to answer some of the questions we asked today, hit us up on Twitter at Totally Heroes, and you can tweet Dave. I don't know why you would since he's dead again,
exactly.
But you could at Dienforce, DienForce. You can tweet Shank at Shank the Tank, SHANKTHTANK, and you can follow myself at Silent Fury 007. Send us an email. questgamingcommunity@gmail.com and check out our forums, questgamingcommunity.com. If Dave were here, I think he'd probably say something about the Elder Scrolls Online Guild, which you can read more about, elderscrollsofftherecord.com. I think there is a button for it up on the tabs on the top. Hope I'm saying that right. I haven't clicked it. I just follow the link usually, which is always on Twitter as well. So, yeah, so do that. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/QuestGamingNetwork, google.com, for Google Plus, google.com/+QuestGamingNetwork, and that's how you can find us. Shank, how about our QGN community segment?
Sure, and I think right before that, to just plug something.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
No,
what are you working
cool.
on?
Yeah. I'm going to shamelessly plug my newest Shank spiel that I'm currently working on for this Thursday, actually. Sort of dropped hints about it if you were listening carefully to Brian earlier this show. He's actually he had a chance to read it, and so I'm going to be putting together the video for that, and hopefully that's just going to be out on Thursday, 9 a.m. Eastern time on our YouTube channel, of course, on QGN. So stay tuned for that. I think you guys will like it. Hopefully you like it. Hopefully some of you guys get mad and tweet at me because that's half the fun, man.
Yeah, exactly. But I have somebody to yell at on the internet.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
but yeah, other than that, if we talk about the bottom of the show, basically everything that you've heard here and everything that we're going to continue to talk about starts right here at questgamingnetwork.com. This is your stop for anything in the games industry, Xbox, PlayStation, that Nintendo thing that Dave really loves, you know, Elder Scrolls, Rift, whatever. We got you covered, questgamingnetwork.com. You can donate to our shows. $10 gets you a special mention. If you just tell us which show that you would like to be mentioned on, we could definitely get that up for you. And we genuinely appreciate that, as it's just one more way we can ensure to keep bringing you guys quality stuff. We have other shows. The Rift Off the Record, Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. SWTOR Reforged, Mondays.
Rift is now at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, yes, you're right. It is, actually, yeah, you're right. It is at 8 o'clock Eastern. Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern. We have SWTOR Reforged, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's actually right before this show, Totally Heroes. Elder Scrolls Off the Record, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And on Friday, we got more Elder Scrolls for you. We have Classic Elder Scrolls Night, Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we've got Community Game Night. All these times are Eastern, of course, and they are live. You can find all the other ways to hear our shows and contact us right here on our sidebar. There's a little section on the right-hand side that says follow us. Boom, all the ways to contact us, including Stitcher Radio, where you can check us out on your mobile device, as well as iTunes. And of course, you can check out all of our sweet gaming videos, how-to guides, etc. on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/questgamingnetwork. We put all of our shows and any of our produced shows, such as any of the Supa Talks that Supa's been putting out, any Shankspiel that I've been producing, as well as our shows like SWTOR Reforged, Totally Heroes. Just a bunch of cool stuff, man. And other random game streams as well. And speaking of game streams, we actually live stream 7 days a week. Where can you find us? Twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. How do you know who is streaming and who is streaming what at what time? Go to QuestGamingNetwork.com. Up at the top of the Mega Nav, you're going to see a button that says Schedule. You simply click on Schedule, and right there, you're going to see the schedule of everybody streaming and exactly what they're streaming Sunday through Saturday. And that's about it.
Yeah, and also, we are looking for streamers. I think we're looking for people to help us out on the video team. If you want to play a game for us and get it out, you want to play it live and stream it on our network, we need you to send us an email at qgnstaff@gmail.com. I honestly don't remember all the requirements at this point because they're not right in front of me, but I know you need to send a 15-minute video linked in the email. They want to see you interacting with your audience and keep the language clean. We're a family network around here. And do that. If you have any questions about it, email us qgnstaff@gmail.com and they'll help you, let you know what you need. Tell them Brian sent you and they'll go, oh, okay, he knows nothing. That's why you're emailing us. Okay.
And also, I just want to, while we're talking about that, we're also looking for writers.
That's right.
And Brian, if you don't mind throwing the link in the chat real quick while I cover this a little quickly here. We're looking for writers for Rift Off the Record and SWTOR Reforged. And, you know, some of the duties included, and of course you can find this up on our site, questgamingnetwork.com.
I'm not sure what link you mean. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's cool. You know what? Hold on.
Did you mean the...
I'm going to copy. Paste. There we go. All right. It's in the chat.
There we go.
But, yeah, basically we're looking for writers that obviously need to possess a command of the English language, unlike myself. your duties would be to post articles, news and notes, you know, about the game developers, including patch notes, expansion announcements, developer commentaries, etc., and as well as, you know, opinions on your gameplay. These would be, you know, your own opinions, obviously not necessarily opinions of the hosts of the show, but you'd have to, you know, back up your opinions and make some good arguments and just, you know, overall be well written, grammar, content, etc., and overall prose. These two positions right now would only primarily encompass just purely, you know, Rift Off the Record and SWTOR. But this is a good way for you guys to kind of get your foot in the door, as it were, at QGN, and open up some more opportunities to write about general gaming for us. And plus, you know, this is perfect for you if you're trying to get into the industry at large. This is a great opportunity. It just gives you more experience on your resume. You can put this down, say, hey, you know, these published about these games, and you know, these are the op-eds I published. And it's just a good experience to have on your resume if you're looking to get in to the gaming journalism industry. So in addition to these two positions, we're actually looking to hire full-time guest writers for Elder Scrolls Off the Record. I want to listen up here, guys. These would include articles and opinions based on both the single-player titles as well as the newly released ESO. And these are guest posts, and they would be cleared and edited by the news lead or the assistant news lead. But, you know, of course, full credit will be given to you, the guest writer, because, after all, it is your article. If you are interested in any of the positions I just talked about, you know, a guest, a more permanent host for Elder Scrolls Off the Record, or, you know, the specific Rift Off the Record and SWTOR Reforged writers, send us an email, or send an email, actually, to our news lead, news director, Mr. Joseph Grandcon Bradford, and you can send him to his email at lotrlore, that's lotrlore, at gmail.com, and make sure your subject is news team submission. What you need to do, we would like your name, which beat you're writing for, whether you want to be, you know, for writing for Rift, SWTOR, or if you want to be a guest writer for Elder Scrolls Off the Record. You must be 18 or older. We would like two samples of your writing. One of them needs to be a generic news post. And of course, you know, make sure to cite all your sources and do the research as required. And the article does not need to be current news, honestly. It just needs to be a well-written, well-researched news article. The second article needs to be an opinion piece, 1,500 word limit on the position you're applying for, again, for Rift, SWTOR, or Elder Scrolls Off the Record. Finally, we would like a cover letter telling us why you would be perfect for the position. And, you know, this is your chance to really sell yourself, so, yeah, you know, go nuts, be creative. Again, email your submission to lotrlore@gmail.com. This is to Joseph Bradford, and in the subject, type news team submission. And that's all I got.
Yeah, guys, don't be shy. They let Shank and I write, so exactly. If we can write for the site, I'm sure you can too.
Yeah, so. Hell, I got an offer simply because I wrote an angry email.
Yeah. So send an email bashing on Shank, and I'm sure they will sign you right up. Actually, I think we get a lot of those already, don't we?
Yeah, guy, you should see my Twitter. It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, guys. Total Heroes is a Quest Gaming Network production. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. My name is Brian Armstrong, and we will see you guys next week.
We did it, you guys. Davis.